Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I was glad when they said, let's have a breakfast. No, come to the house of the Lord, for he is here, and he's here to greet all of us and welcome us with the power of his word and promise. Glad you have come. We are having a breakfast after the worship. I hope you will stay. If you don't know that, please stay. You'll enjoy it. Omelet special. We think back in our history to Jim Reamer, who used to make a tremendous omelet. Of course, he passed away this past year, but today we sort of remember him with a time of breakfast together. And is Carol here? I don't see Carol. No, I don't know. She's probably downstairs all worried and concerned.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I hope she's going to be here. She'll be here. Let's rise and join and sing as we are in the house of the Lord. Is not Jake and Will, as I put it in the bulletin. I forgot to change it. That's Pete and Kim, and we welcome them here today. Always good to have them. Yep. And before the morning's over, probably Pete will have something to say. Who knows? Just a joke. Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can be here today to rejoice, to be with each other, and to know that you are present with us. Send your Spirit today by way of your word to encourage us and lift us up that we might be a more loving people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now from Matthew, we hear these words of Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength too. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, it is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Please be seated. We got a little short presentation here just to let you know about the mission in Guatemala as Don has returned and has something to say to us. Let me get the mic on here for you, Don. Maybe. There we go. You can just pull it right on. It should be working.
I think it's on. Yes, it is.
Good.
Good morning, and I want to thank you because we've now completed our 10th house. I promised them 10 houses. We've finished 10 houses. I'm not done. But you all were part of this, for sure. The church sponsored the funds for us. I've had the opportunity to work with Craig and Debbie. Tim downstairs. He's downstairs cooking. But we've had some people from the congregation here go with us. And I have my daughter here. I think the second year I had some people bail on me. I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, I had two nurses from the VA that were going with me. And I said, I'm short people. And Erica said, well, I guess I could go. And I don't think you've missed except that one COVID year when I went down and you didn't. So my daughter, Erica's put the presentation together. I'm going to let her speak.
Good morning. I am always game for an adventure. So if you say someone can't go to something fun that you're going to go do somewhere crazy, I'm in. I had watched my dad go down for many years for a variety of things. The house building was sort of a later addition to his experiences down in Guatemala. He started down there doing medical work and you know, taking some Spanish classes. And as the house building became kind of the central focus, or I should say really the God's Child became the central focus, that really brought in myself and my sister and some other family members. So it's really been a joy of an addition to our lives. So this is this year's Don Miller service team. My cousin Jay, who's I was going to say the tall guy, but really, they're all tall compared to me. My cousin Jay and his daughter Jordan joined us this year. Jay has joined us many of the last few years. He has two daughters. Sometimes one of the daughters comes, sometimes they both come, sometimes his wife Jenny comes. You probably know Pat, who's sitting back there with my mom. That's Pat's son Jay. My dad, my sister and her boyfriend, and then myself and one of the many dogs that I befriend in Guatemala. So this is the service stream for this year, 2024. And this is Saul. So one of the great things about the God's Child Project is they have these, their staff is very, very dedicated. Many of these young men and women have come up through the program. So there were people who were sponsored through the program. There were people who went through the schools of the program. And now many of them work for the program. So Saul is my favorite team lead. He's one of our builders. So they have three or four builders who put together a team. So no matter who's down there building a house, there's a team available. And these folks really do become like family. We've worked with the same group of people for many, many years, and they are very special to us. So, and we move on to the build. So this is what we're there for, right? every year, the sites are a little bit different. And every year, the sites come with some challenges. So one year, a year that I did not, I think a year that you did two builds, and I didn't participate in the second build, everything that had to be moved into the building site had to be walked through a house. So that was a challenge that year. Last year, we built on the side of a mountain. That was a challenge. This year, we actually had a really, I would say, a very easy site. The dirt wasn't full of rocks. We weren't on a 90-degree angle, but it was excessively hot this year. Even the Guatemalan said, boy, it's hot. So we know it was hot. So this is our site before we started the build. And as you see here, there's still some challenges. That's my sister painting there on the right-hand side. She's, sort of stuck between a fence and the wall. But as we built, you see the hearth start to go up. And as you can see, for those of you either who are new to this presentation or haven't seen the iteration, we put down brick. We put down the cinder block the first day, and we mix cement, and then we frame it. And then once we've got the walls up, we paint them this blue. It's very neat because as you drive through Antigua and the surrounding villages, you can see the God's Child houses because they're all this color blue, and they stand out on the sides of mountains and in towns. It's really special kind of to be part of that. Here's my sister and I on the left mixing concrete. Anyone who's had the pleasure of working with concrete in any way knows that it's a pretty messy, pretty heavy, pretty grueling job. And when you keep in mind that we do not use any heavy equipment in Guatemala, we mix all that by hand. So they say put six wheelbarrows of rock down, put four wheelbarrows of sand down, now put the cement on, and now mix it just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's a whole day. So that's what that starts out looking like. And on the right-hand side here, we are inside the house. We call these houses, if you live here, this isn't a house. It's it's probably a shed where you keep your lawnmower. But they're tremendous for these folks who otherwise have dirt floors or have corn cob walls. So this gives them a door that closes and locks. It gives them a window. It gives them a roof that's sturdy. So that's really kind of the finished product from the inside. And as I said, the build is why we go down there. But there are some other things that are pretty special to us. So here are the people. On the right-hand side, you see us at the end of the build. So as you can see, they had a structure there. We built behind the structure. So now they have this really secure facility that they can use for sleeping and living in. And they can use the front facility for something more like cooking, giving mom and dad space from their two children or one child? The older daughter and then the son. So giving mom and dad maybe a little bit of space from the children. We bought them bunk beds this year so the mom and dad can have a bed and the children can have a bed. I believe in this home there was one queen-size bed that everybody was probably sleeping in. So on the right, though, what's important is we do get a lot of fun in. So it's hard work. We work very hard throughout the day, but we do we get a lot of good food and we go out and explore the city. So this is us having a little fun. I think, Aunt Pat, this might have been us when we called you. Either you or Jenny. So this is us having a good time on the right. One of the other really important pieces, really critical pieces of what the God's Child program does is in addition to building houses, they sponsor a school, and they also do children's sponsorship, so something you've probably heard of through other organizations. What's really special about the God's Child Project is once you sponsor a child, you really get to have some personal connection with that child. So on the left here is one of our sponsored children, Scarlett. We've been sponsoring Scarlett for 7 years? So over the last 5 years, we get to see Scarlett every time we go down to Guatemala. We get to visit with her. In this case, actually, we do plan a visit with them, and we take them shopping at a grocery store and help them kind of stock up on things they need for their families. But in this case, we happened to be waiting around at the school, and she was out at recess. And so she came running up, and we talked about her dog, and that's really neat. In the middle and on the right, those are some pictures of another one of our sponsored children, Claudia's. How old is Claudia now, though? So Claudia's 19. So she's not really a child anymore, but she has a couple of her own children. So that sponsorship continues to allow her family to kind of continue to meet its needs. So this is, on the right-hand side, us going into the grocery store with Scarlett, who is one of our sponsored children, Jonathan, who's another of the sponsored children, and then Claudia and kind of her whole family. She had it was her and her two little ones and her little sister and... But again, a tremendous amount of joy comes out of that arrangement. And of course, the most important thing perhaps is the spending of time together. So every year we try to take an excursion. So this year they went to visit the volcano Pacaya. So on the right-hand side, you'll see the volcano. You take a horse. You can walk if you want. Nobody really wants to. You can take a horse up the side of the mountain, and then you get to see Pacaya in the background. The boys took a little excursion this year and went and saw a football game going on about midnight on a Tuesday night. The rest of us stayed home and were responsible. But we do, again, you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of joy, and we do find a way to make it a lot of fun as well. And again, another one of the sort of the pivotal pieces of the God's Child Project, one of the things that they do is every Friday, anyone who participates in their programs can come in and do a food grab. So basically, moms and dads who are part of the project, when their children are involved in the project, they are given classes. So if they come in for classes during the week, then they can join us on Friday for a food giveaway. This doesn't even begin to give you an idea of how much is being given away. This is maybe a quarter of what you'll see, and this is all fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of times they'll do Domino's Pizza. Domino's does a lot of donating. Breads, cakes, anything you can imagine that is food-based. And they just get to come through the line and take as much as they can, and then once everybody's been through the line, they can come back through until they're full. So it is, I think, probably supplementing those families tremendously. Maybe almost all the way. It is really a neat thing, and you get to talk to everybody in this scenario. Even those of us who don't speak Spanish get to talk to everybody in this scenario. It's a lot of fun, and again, very joyful. But as always, there's more work to do. So these are three of the bios that we picked up while we were down there for children who still need sponsorship in Guatemala. One of the really special things is, as I said, you can have kind of a personal connection with these kids. Each year, for several holidays, they'll send you a card. Usually they'll have a hand-drawn picture on there. They will handwrite a little note. You'll see some that are, you know, two or three sentences. Scarlett has this beautiful handwriting and writes a whole page. And then that'll be translated into English for you by one of the staff there at God's Child Project. So you'll get these cards a couple of times through the year. As I said, when we go down there, they make arrangements for us to see all of the kids every time. And the nice thing is there's no minimum. So if you can give something every month, if it's $5, if it's $10, I think their recommendation is $25, but they will happily allow you and be joyful that you'll sponsor a child at any price. And if you don't have a monthly that you can give, you can also sponsor a single crib, you can sponsor a holiday, you can sponsor a book bag. So there's a lot of opportunity. I checked the website this morning, there's 19 children listed currently. And that number changes constantly, and while I think in a lot of ways it's positive and it goes down, it's always going to continue to go up because there's always more children.
I brought some bios with me. If anyone's interested, I have two boys, two girls. I put it on my credit card. It automatically gets deducted. Don't have to do anything. And the last thing I wanted to say is thank you for the vitamins. We brought down close to 50 bottles of vitamins. The children love them, and it's certainly helpful for them to have it.
And I think we've only gotten caught in transition one time.
So, thank you again. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, for the wonders of His love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, for the wonders of His love. Oh, His amazing love.
Oh, God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Thank you, Pete and Kim. Wow, great. Hey, last week I chose a most unusual song by Tina Turner, you may remember, to bring you a sermon series that's all about something that's very important, about building the relationships that we have with other people in our life. What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? What's with that? What's with this? Come on. Who needs it? A heart. Who needs it? Who needs this? No doubt you heard the song, you understand the message. It's all about physical love. Of course, you know that love does have everything to do with it. It has everything to do with any and all relationships that we have if we want them to grow and prosper and be healthy. Love has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with relationships that we want, new relationships with other people. You got to have love. To deny this is no different than saying that the security of our nation has nothing to do with the security of our borders. It has everything to do with it. You need to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Pursue the truth in your life. Jesus comes today with the truth. Last week I shared with you that nothing is more important than the relationships that we have, and that there is no more important ingredient for those relationships than love. You can do the next slide. The relationships that we have matter to us. They should. They need to be important. They need to be there. So for relationships to be all that we hope for them to be, what do we need? Love. The heart of that love, of course, is the love that God brought to the world so that we could have a relationship with Him. It came by way of His priority for us, His love for us. He gave us Himself. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God expressed His love clearly, simply by way of Jesus. Jesus came to show you and me how to enjoy not only our relationship with Him, but our relationship with others. One of the highest priorities that Jesus taught was that nothing is more important than our relationships. And so today I ask you, is that your priority? Is that where you're coming from? Are your relationships a high priority to you in your life? Do you see the importance of this love that God wants us to have? This grace of God to be His family, to be His people, to be His church, to hold us together as His very own. Okay, with your friend. You're on a rubber raft with your friend, and you're approaching an island, and all of a sudden your rubber raft, you notice, is leaking. And you are in the sight of land, but you're still out there a great distance from the land. In the distance, you see the land. You are sinking. Now, on the raft, you have with you some signal flares, and you have with you a week's supply of canned goods, food. And you have also a 5-gallon container of water. You must throw one of these things overboard if you're going to make it to that island because you're sinking. Which one would you choose? Logically, of course, I think we would say, you throw the friend overboard. You get rid of him. Logically, it just makes sense. I mean, don't sit there with some sort of a pious look on your face. There's no doubt in my mind that this is an easy thing for us to do, because much of the time that's what we end up doing. You look at your life, you just think about it. You treat things more important than people. Oftentimes, not just out there in that raft, it's the truth about us. We treat things more important than people all of the time. Who among us has not seen that in ourselves? I'm just saying. I know it's not the right response, the ethical response, but throw them over, you know? Get rid of them. That seems logical. It's a big problem for all of us all of the time. Priorities become most important when we are forced to make the big choice. When we have to make the big choice, then we see really what our priority is in life. If we had enough time to do everything, then, well, we could make everything a priority. But we don't have that much time. We just don't, to do everything. If we had the power to do everything that we wanted to do, our choices would not be so important. If we had the power, it wouldn't matter to us. But we don't have that power. And some things, it comes right down to it, have to be done. And we need to have the power to get it done. But every good thing that we want to do, we can't do it because we don't have the power and we don't have the time. When Jesus spoke to us about the priority of relationships, he could not have been any more clear. Jesus taught that relationships that we have must be given the highest of value. And thankfully, he comes as well to show us how our relationships can be of the highest value. And that's where I want to take you today. That's where I want to lead you today, to see how you can make your relationships the highest value for yourself. Now think in your mind just for your second, just think in your mind that you are back in Jesus' day and you have the rare privilege of going around with him wherever he is going. You're right there by his side in his day. You're there. What are you starting to notice? I think you are starting to notice that Jesus is always having people around him who are asking him questions. They're always asking. I think if you were there, back there then, you probably have a few questions you wanted to ask him as well. I mean, crowds of people were pressing upon Jesus. They were all coming with their questions. The disciples, remember reading about them? Again and again, they're always pulling Jesus aside from all of the crowds. And they have their specialized, privileged questions that they want to ask Jesus. And you'll also notice a third group of people. These were the enemies of Jesus. They had all kinds of questions wherein they could possibly entrap Jesus and make him look like a fool. It's easy to dislike this third group of people. And we would probably say, you know, Jesus, you got to move away from these kinds of people. But Jesus, he's there. He's giving his time. He's showing his power. He's revealing himself, answering all of their questions one by one. So now you are with Jesus on this one particular day. And it's a day when, the questions are coming fast and furiously from everywhere, all kinds of people. One group asks a question about paying taxes. Do you pay taxes to Caesar or not? I'm sorry I'm too late to give you the answer to that after last week. But anyway, they asked that question back then. And then another group is asking him some questions about marriage. And then another group asking him about forgiveness. Now Jesus, you are noticing, is answering all of these questions brilliantly. He hits the matter right on the head again and again and again. But you're starting to think to yourself, you know, Jesus, we got to move on away from these kinds of people and get to some people who really want to hear what you have to say. It is then that a teacher of the law, you notice, from the edge of the crowd, asks a question with a slightly different tone. He's almost sounding very genuous about what he is intending to ask with his question, different than the others as they were asking their questions. He seems to stand out. He says, Jesus, of all of the commandments, which is the most important? How would you prioritize it all for us? In Jesus' answer is to be found the most important statement about relationships that you will ever hear. As Jesus speaks, he leaves no doubt in anyone's mind as to the value he places on relationships. The most important is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Bingo! Bunko! Either way, Jesus' simple, clear answer expresses nothing matters like relationships. And what they need is love. Like the Beatles, all you need is love. Nothing is more important than the relationships that we have, and they deserve from us the best. Love. From the beginning to the end, nothing is more important. In the beginning, God created all of us. He created us so that we would be able to have a relationship with Him. And he designed us especially so that we would be able to carry on with a relationship with each other. Miss out on relationships and you are missing out on life. You are missing the core reason for which God has planted you right here on this planet. In the end, nothing is more important than this. Because nothing will last longer than relationships. The Bible tells us that they will last throughout all eternity. But in this life, we all know that the wonder and the pain of relationships can tempt us to say, who needs this? Who needs this? And we quickly are discounting relationships. And we are reducing our lives to simple hobbies and tasks and entertainment, the pursuit of such things that we must have, like money, our job, our career, our work, a boat, a car, our wardrobe, our shoes, our house, jewelry. Things matter more than people. That's all I'm saying. Listen, when I try to make less important that which is truly most important, it only causes more confusion and trouble for me in my life. A life without relationships may well be simpler, but it's empty. It's not better. It's not good. The path to the greatest life possible and the path to the greatest joy possible is found in the priority that Jesus holds out and brings our way today, and that is to place our highest value, the highest value we have, on the relationships that are ours. Not on money, but on relationships. First with God, and then with others. Not on time, but on relationships. First with God, then with others. Not on things, but on relationships. First with God, then with others. Not on work, but on relationships. First with God, and then with others. Yeah, right. I know that. Of course you know that. We all know that. The problem is, valuing our relationships is not in the knowing, but in the doing. You see, here is what happens. The unimportant intrudes upon the truly important when it comes to relationships. You get up in the early in the morning and you want to spend a little time, maybe with a devotion with God, I'm just saying. But you end up reading the stock quotes and the sports scores instead. It happens. Your best friend is pouring her heart out to you about something that is really troubling her, and it's weighing her down terribly, but you are distracted by the little piece of spinach that you see in her teeth right here. Your spouse is sharing with you something that is really important, but your mind keeps wandering because your favorite TV show, Gunsmoke, has just started a couple of minutes ago. I love Gunsmoke. Your child is actually talking to you for once. It's a miracle. But you are so pressured by the tasks that you have on hand in front of you that you have to get done, you find yourself rushing the conversation. You can't believe you're doing it, but you are. Okay, okay, yeah, yeah, but it's not okay. You are missing a most valuable time. It probably isn't going to happen for a long, long time again. How many such examples could I present to you? Could I share with you that shows that oftentimes we give relationships a lesser priority than what they should receive, than what they really deserve? Now, understanding why we do this is not nearly as important as changing the fact that we do it. And we do it regularly. Understanding why does little to bring about the change that we need. That's the truth. That's the reality. Knowing why changes little. You probably already know why. You see, the answer is not understanding you. The answer is getting outside of you. Get outside of your relationship to yourself and get into the relationship of others so that things can change. In other words, leave selfishness in the dust. Put it on the back trail. Leave it behind you. Get away from it. Get out of yourself and get into the priorities that God holds out to you that are so important. And the only way that we can change our priorities is to begin to make different choices as we go about our tasks when it comes to relationships. And that's what Jesus is saying to all of us today. Very simply, Jesus teaches us how to make different choices. What he teaches takes just two sentences to say, but a lifetime to put into practice. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, take your old set of values and replace them with a whole new set of values, and then act on them in your life. And that is the opportunity that God is giving you and me today, every one of us. So what are your values? Well, let me help you a little bit by asking a couple of questions. Simple questions. What is the first thing that you think about when you get up in the morning? What is on your schedule for the day that is so important that you definitely have to get it done? As you look at your checkbook, what gets paid no matter what? If you were to lie on the couch and listen to some soothing and relaxing music, what would you be thinking about? What do you find yourself talking about most? How often do you say I? What is the last thing that you think about when you put your head on the pillow at night? You see, there are all kinds of lesser values that take us away from the greater values of loving God and loving each other. Jesus put it this way to his disciples. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothing to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. Now notice what Jesus said here. We cannot serve both God and money. He says, cannot. He did not say, should not. We should not serve God. No, he didn't say that. He doesn't say, you might not want to serve, attempt to serve God. No, no. He says, cannot. You see, competing values cannot coexist. Did you know that? They can't. It's not going to happen. No way. One will override the other. It will overwhelm the other. It will trump the other. Of course, today, the day of multitasking and the day of technological advances, which we see around us all, we might begin to think differently. Well, I'll find time to be completely devoted to God and completely devoted to making my money and completely devoted to recreation and career, hobbies too. I'll manage it all. I'll give my best for everything. Listen, it does not matter how well you manage your life or how many time-saving devices you create or buy into. If you try to hold on to competing values, one will always overwhelm the other. And here's the strange thing. The lesser value almost always overwhelms the greater value. Lesser values take less faith. Lesser values take less effort. The lesser value seems easier, and so it will draw us in. It will tempt you toward it. You will be tempted to put it first. But lesser values, they don't deliver on their promises. They don't deliver as we think they promise they will deliver, and that's what makes them lesser. There's a second truth to be seen here when Jesus asks, doesn't life consist of more than food, clothing? The answer is, of course, it does consist of more than that. Certainly life is more than that. The striking thing about lesser values in life is that the more of them that we achieve, the more of them that we have, the more that we accomplish, the more we realize how little power they have to actually give us what we truly are looking for, which is fulfillment. They just don't seem to do the trick. So we end up lying awake in the middle of the night in bed with these very words of Jesus running through our mind. Doesn't life consist of more? And what is that? I have come that you would have life and that you might have it abundantly, Jesus said. And there's a third truth to be seen here that has the power to reshape and rebuild you and me. Any one of us, Jesus says, you have so little faith. And he says that after he asks this question. If God cares so wonderfully for the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he surely care for you? When you boil it all down then, questions about priority are questions about faith. If I have the faith that God will take care of me, well, it frees me up to live with a certain set of priorities, the priorities that come from God. But if instead I feel that it's all up to me, what I do, the decisions I make, everything up to me to care for my, well, then what will my priorities be? Think about it. They will not be the ones that I will be choosing from God. I will be choosing them from some other place. What is that other place? Are your priorities coming from some other place? And that's the whole point that I'm trying to share with you, isn't it? The whole thing. That's why God sent forth his own Son to show us his priorities, that they might be our priority. His priority was to love us even when we screw up, even when we make a mess of everything, even when we're not being what we should be, to shape us, to build us, to inspire us, to strengthen us, and to forgive us. God cares about our relationships for him, and through it, he calls us to see the importance of our relationship to somebody else, to each other. It is the highest priority among all other things. It was to Jesus. Oh, thank God it was to Jesus the highest priority. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He loved us so much, he died for us. He loved us so much, he gave us everything so that we can put our trust in him more than we put our trust in ourselves. He is our future. And that brings to us the power and the time that we need today to do all that we can be for him and for somebody else. So our relationships will find just what they need. God's priority of love. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life forever, our future and our past.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings. You cover the mountains, the valley below, with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside of your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. constellations are swimming inside the breath of your desire. Where could I run and where could I hide from your heart's jealous fire? All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you asked me to be your friend. You asked me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. You are the beginning and the end. 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 And my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future. And my past.
Thank you. Pray with me, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, for the opportunity that we have to always make choices. We made a choice today to come here. We knew that your word would speak to us. We had confidence. You have not let us down. You know right where we're at. You know what we're all about. And you help us to make that which is so important to us stronger and better. You show us your love by way of your own Son, that we might be able to grab a hold of something whereby our love can be a little bit more revealing, better, stronger. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who feel so alone. Help them to know you have not left them, never will leave them. Your relationship with them is solid and strong. Relationships here sometimes crumble and they sometimes fall apart. And yes, we do feel very much alone, but you come to sustain us. You come to give us confidence that the day ahead is going to be better, brighter, because we will always be with you. That confidence can do something to us, Heavenly Father. We know that, and it's all about our faith, so that our priorities will continue to be strong, even though we feel so alone and so weak. You embolden us, Heavenly Father, to live our life with confidence. So this day, Heavenly Father, as your family, as your church, we come together. We worship together. We eat together. We thank you for all things that you give us to sustain us. But most of all, we thank you for your love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be and abide with all of you always. Amen. God's love awakens us.
I got to say it, Al. What a great message.
Oh, thanks.
Very sobering. And Don and his team, thank you. And I got to say thanks to my parents, because they opened my eyes and awakened me to God's love. And I think that's what it all is about. It's opening our hearts, letting God in, and sharing that with others, because it's when we close our hearts to our own selfish desires that turns things off. So, Al, thank you.
You bet.
And please join me. And everyone here, you guys sound awesome. You really do. And it's so awesome every week when we're here and we're singing together, hearing all the joy coming out of your voices. It's really awesome. So thank you. God bless you. And please join in on this last song. Well, let's fix this a little bit here.
Find the right key.
All right.
There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Feel the darkness shaking, all the dead are coming back to life, oh, back to life. We hear the song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, cause you're alive. You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light, you call my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. Shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. And what a love we found, death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, cause you're alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love awakens me. Your awakens me.
Thanks, Pete, Kim, very much.
Have a great week.
Food is on.